And we'll do 17, 30, and 52. Okay. Oh, who are you passing me off to? Okay. Well, I will try to behave. How's that? I'll try to be on my best behavior. Oh, I got to do that. If not, they'll tell on me.
I know what's going on here. Turn that on.
So you had a good weekend?
Turn that on. Now we're going. Okay.
I did. My lights had gone out on my car on last Monday while I was driving home from Columbus. And I found out both of my headlights blew at the same time. How strange is that? Yeah. It was not a good ride. It was not a fun ride home, but we made it. God's grace was amazing. But to have both, to figure that out, to have both headlights, that was just insane.
I told her to check the headlights first.
I'm not on, I guess. Wait, I think I am. Let me turn my headphone up.
I needed something. But there was a lesson in it.
No, I'm talking to you about.
What'd you say?
I'm talking to you about the show.
Oh, and your tire went. Yeah.
The tire blew.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, I was. You guys will understand this. I was going to the car wash on Saturday after my, me fixing my headlights, and the Spirit of God just laid in my heart and said, "Why do you take your hands off the wheel, your hands off the gas? You put your car in neutral, and you let it glide through, and you have no worries that you're going to come out on the other side, but you don't trust me, and I've taken you through two storms." And I said, it's almost like, I told you, it's almost like God saying it's going to be all right. And it's like, I told you not to marry Thomas. I told you, I'm done. I'm done.
That's a long time ago to remember that lesson.
Got to listen. It was a good word. And I said, wow. So I'm just chilling back no matter what comes up in life. It's like, whatever, let God deal with it. You know that's hard. Those eight personality people, we just like having our control. We like controlling stuff.
It's a learned skill, but it works.
No, we don't. We think we do, but we don't.
I do, because otherwise I'd go nuts. That's how I get through the day. Because, you know, God fixes it. If you're on the right path, God gets you there.
Oh, yeah.
What in the world? Okay. You got it. We are not on Facebook Live today, guys, because I'm having technical issues.
We're not on what?
Facebook Live.
Ah.
I'm having technical issues.
Not good. That's good because it gives me another day to lose 30 pounds.
Let me know how that works for you.
Did you gain some more?
Oh, God, yes. I've been eating way too much. I got to start cutting back.
He's been bringing me a cookie every time he shows up.
And the only reason why I didn't bring one today is because I was almost killed getting here. But that's...
Jeez, oh, man. What was more important, you living or bringing cookies?
Well, when I came up here, it was living. Now I'm not so sure.
Oh, we're up in about 2 minutes.
Is that Camilla? No, that's Camilla.
That's Camilla.
That's the new one. That's not the new one.
That's the new one. That's his new. That's Prince Charles's new wife, Camilla.
Yeah, but
Ginger
and
I almost get divorced over that.
No.
What was the first one?
Diane. She died.
Oh, yeah. Well,
Diana was the baby maker. Yeah, and you know, Charles and the British royal family wouldn't let Charles marry Camilla, so he married Diana. He had the kids, but he never left Camilla. Camilla has been the love of his life.
She was still there.
But she was not there for babies. She couldn't make kids. Think about your children. Somebody pretty to make pretty babies, even though they all look like their dad. And I'm going to push your Harry term.
Well, Harry, the thought looks like his father.
Sure Harry,
Harry looks like his father. And it ain't.
Okay, we're coming up. Thank you. Well, good morning and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WHKZ AM 1440. I'm Tracy Windbush, and in studio with me I have Jeff Green and Mark Mangibu, brought to you by Window World of Youngstown for replacement windows. And for your upgrades on your home, you want to call 1-800-NEXT-WINDOW and tell them that Tracy sent you. I am in studio. It's Monday. It's been a great weekend. I hope you guys had a great weekend. It's a little chilly outside today, but it's okay to put on a little sweater on the first day or third day of June.
Cold.
It's not cold.
That furnace was on last night.
Mine too.
Ginger says,
it's cold.
Samantha, but he had to turn the furnace on last night.
It wasn't cold.
Freezing last night.
It wasn't freezing.
And it's going down to 45 tonight.
No.
You know what the good news was? Is that because when it's cold, Ginger likes to go out and do yard work. And she was digging up the beds in the backyard. And I thought, this is wonderful. Because I don't have to go out and dig up the beds. Cause I said, what are you doing?
I'm digging up the beds.
And I said, fine. You know.
It takes all kind. I want to thank Cityscape. They came down on Saturday morning. They blocked the roads off. You can't complain. You had people from all over coming and planting flowers in my neighborhood.
That's right. That's
and I do my best to keep patches out the flower beds.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful what they've done down there. It's really, really great.
It's very, very – you know, Youngstown has very attractive entrances.
Yes.
Except for one thing. Now, you're a big wig with the state, or you were a big wig with the state. And you know
whatever that means.
And you know all the people that you need to know.
Okay.
Please tell me why – Route 7 is as bad as it is.
What do you mean? In what way?
Market Street is the main entrance to the city of Youngstown from the south side.
Right.
And it is a mess, and it has been a mess.
Oh, you're talking about Market Street.
And it is a state route, and I can understand the problems with the county. I can understand the problems with the city. I can understand the problems with the townships. But I can't understand the problems with the state. Pave the darn road.
Well, now, hold on. We can't please you Republicans for love nor money. You don't want us to tax you, but you want us to continue to spend money on state roads.
No, you're missing the point, because in Columbus they don't have that problem.
No.
And I'm saying it takes them about that
money.
What do you mean
they don't have
Columbus
that
and pay
they
Market
don't have
Street?
That problem.
What problem don't they have in Columbus?
They don't have broken up roads in Columbus.
The state's not only paving their roads, they're building more roads. Well, how about taking care of the ones you got first?
But they have to build more roads because you need more ways to get to Columbus.
There aren't any more ways to get to Columbus.
But Columbus is like the stomach of the state.
Yeah, and it's giving
Cleveland
the
is the heartbeat.
You got a little kaleidoscope.
Hold on, now listen. You got to understand. Listen to this. Columbus is the stomach. It is the digestive system for the state. Cleveland is the heartbeat. Toledo and Youngstown. You guys are the armpits. Over the years, your politics have given you the reason. And as a matter of fact, you guys don't always use deodorant up here in these lakes. And you're always causing problems down there in the digestive part.
And
notwithstanding, every now and then, even you got to clean your armpits out occasionally from time to time and spray a little deodorant in there, okay? It's time. Please pave Market Street, because you can almost not drive down it. It's so bad, particularly up by the uptown.
It's real bad.
It's
by the uptown, you just go over to the other side. Just cross over. But there's no money.
There's money for Columbus.
On. You have $5 billion in the rainy day fund.
Yeah. Well, we're going to use that up in Dayton for the tornado.
Okay. You're not going to use $5 billion?
You're going to watch them.
No. How much federal aid?
What's federal aid?
You got federal aid.
You can't get federal aid unless there was 22 people. You have to have X amount of – you have to have a base.
So here's my favorite story.
No,
so
22 families?
So the Paramount Theater, how long did that sit empty, the old Liberty Paramount Theater?
For years, decades.
So during that period of time, that theater sat empty, and they could find no money to tear it down.
Right.
In Columbus, they tore down the Union Department Store. They built a multi-story shopping mall with a parking deck with a mini convention center attached to it. They closed that shopping mall, tore it down, built a park.
Okay, let me say this to you.
And we still couldn't get the Paramount Theater.
Let me say this to you. Mahoning Valley is going to have to learn that it is going to have to make wise decisions in their election process when it comes to who they elect, the plans that they have, what they want, where they want to go, and what they do with their money. Because over the years, let me say, if you don't know how to engage the state government and or the federal government, you get what you get. And we have a history of doing what we do, not wanting anyone to tell us what to do, and just give me the money and everything will be fine. That's why down in the State Department right now, we are having a problem with education in Youngstown City Schools. Like, it's a new problem. But this problem's been going on for decades.
What's going on with that? Where is Jeff?
They are testifying before Congress to overturn House Bill 70. They're saying that it's good. They're saying that it's bad, depending on what side you're on. But for some reason, nobody wants to go into the history of education. They don't want to go into the problem with education, and they don't want to deal with education as they should, because you have to go back to funding, and then you have to fix what you tore down, because remember, they raped Youngstown City School District over the years. You've got to fix the charter schools, because they are raping people of their resources. And don't get me wrong, I'm all for school choice. But you can't take all the resources and then give competition to people who don't deserve competition and then expect for you to get some type of results. It doesn't work that way.
Might I remind you that the reason why you have charter schools is because the schools were failing before that time.
No, I'm not talking about that. I said I agree with charter schools. What I said was the legislation that they allowed White House. They allowed White Hat to write.
Yeah.
And so when I was on the school board and they were sucking money out of the schools, and especially Youngstown City Schools, and it had Eagle Academy up on Market Street, the old South High building, and they were sucking money out like 40 going north.
Who's sucking money out?
Charter schools.
Okay. How does that happen?
Because they get a cost per pupil, and the money follows the pupil, and it doesn't. So if you kick the kid out, the money doesn't come back to you. It doesn't follow the people like it should. And then the regulations for public schools and the regulations for charter schools were totally different.
Right.
And competition-wise, you were sending your money over to schools that were not doing as well as the public schools. So White Hat took a lot of money out of the districts, but they did not produce a product in it.
A good product.
That's correct.
You're correct.
And the problem, and the legislators allowed them to write it, and I will call them out. They were Republican, and they were wrong. They didn't deal with the funding, and then the racism around of the ABCs. We told them, listen, charter schools is taking money out of our district, and they're killing us. And because it was not a Boardman Canfield Austintown problem at the time, they said, screw you, we don't need it, it's not our problem. Now, if I go down and ask the school board down in the ABCs, they tell me they're having the same problem that we are having, or we've had. We told them that it was coming. Because open enrollment, they're trying to fix this with House Bill 70, but they don't want to fix all the problems that we're having.
So what does House Bill 70 do?
House Bill 70 actually turns it over to an oversight commission, which is a bunch of people who are sitting on the sidelines that have been taken power away from the school board, your local school
board.
Don't
they already have that?
That's correct, and they're trying to overturn that.
Oh, they're overturning the oversight.
That's correct.
Commission. Okay.
And and don't get me wrong, it should be massaged. It doesn't have to be overturned.
It shouldn't be overturned, and it has to be dealt with.
But it should be dealt with. There's some things in that should be dealt with, but it shouldn't be overturned.
What's wrong? What is the Oversight Committee doing that's not good?
Well, I don't know, because the Youngstown Schools just got a glowing
report from the Education Association, I mean, the Education Department in Columbus.
Really?
So, oh, yes, they did.
And what was? What was it?
You have to take a look at the... It's
what was it? I mean...
The whole report.
But let me see, what was it?
Said overall they improved under MOHIP in the last years.
No, don't get me wrong. Again, I said they should be massaged. And don't say it should not go back to the local school board right now. The local school board does not have the necessary means that it needs.
They don't have the particular talent necessary to get, and some of them have master's degrees.
Well, that's what
like
I said.
That.
They don't
but
have the aptitude.
That doesn't mean that they understand what to do with these schools a certain way from their position. Because they're limited because of money.
Who?
The local school board. They're limited to get things done. But the thing is what was paid attention to is what I've always screamed about, and a couple people did, and that's the curriculum.
But again, I agree with you. I agree. This is not a disagreement. What I'm saying is, it needs to be massaged.
I agree.
But it doesn't need to be abolished.
So what is it that you would like to see different?
One, it needs to have a more open approach for communication. I'm going to take a break real quick, and when we come back, we'll talk about this, because we have to look at it from a different spectrum, just like we have to look at tariffs from China in a different situation, because we don't live in a Chinese government situation. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WHKZ AM 1440. The call-in number here is 516-595-8258. We'll be right back. Little Ness, 692. There are the school board doesn't have the aptitude. The brain trust of the city is gone. So the people that are on there are not policymakers. They're well-intended, nice people, but they have no clue how the thing works. And the micromanaging of the district from leadership is not how it works.
I don't know too much about it.
But I'm just saying, just with anything, if you take any type of entity and you micromanage your CEO or your superintendent based upon your basic knowledge, not based upon your academic knowledge, causes problems.
They have the same thing going on up in Cleveland, though.
Oh, that's all urban settings. That's why half the age children are going to fail in school. Your brain trust is gone. But remember, the brain trust that was there before raised all the financial resources from the district before they exited and turned it over. We don't understand the raping of the resources.
I'm not getting the concept what they did.
Oh, who?
The people that you say took the resources.
Oh, this is the money out of the Youngstown City Schools.
How?
Oh, contracts and friends and all that kind of stuff. We've got to come right back. Well, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WHKZ AM 1440. The call-in number here is 516-595-8258. Got Jeff Green and Mark Manchi in studio. I'm Tracy Winbush, and we're brought to you by Window World of Youngstown. Before the break, we were talking about Youngstown City Schools. And during the break, Mark asked me, well, what did they take? And I told him they took the resources. And I want to bring this up. Mark, do you realize, let's go back to resources in the Mahoning Valley. I remember back in the 1980s, I was still in high school, when Pat Ungaro, after the exodus of all of the steel mills, came in and bought all of the buildings downtown Youngstown, from the city of Youngstown. And they bought those buildings at a nice price. And they let the buildings sit.
So no matter who came along with what idea of doing anything, no one, these buildings were viable buildings. They were ready for you to move in and to go, and no one could get a part of the building. But yet the money for the buildings went out. And so the Youngstown City Schools during that time was very, very profitable because we still had a good property value base. And there was a lot of money in Youngstown City Schools. And the people that were here on the school board, they were making sure that their kids and their families and their friends and their neighbors, through union contracts and through other contracts, got their friends and families contracts with Youngstown City Schools, whether it be for paper, whether it be for copiers, and there was no fiscal oversight. And they did that on an ongoing continuum. When I got on the school board in 2000, we had to implement an oversight so that we actually had paper, a paper trail for teachers, for recommendation, for disciplinary actions. Because what was going on in our school district was, Mark, you're my friend. I will tell you, I'm your principal, you're my friend, you're my teacher. I will come and I will tell you, Mark, you've got to do a better job with what you're doing. Mark, you're not doing this, you're not doing, and Mark, you're not showing up on time. But in your report, there was nothing dissatisfactory inside of your report because I told you because you were my friend, and I continued to let you teach. And this went on for decades. So we had teachers that we could not get rid of because there was no paper trail.
Yeah, and that's but that's a problem for a lot of all school districts right now, you know, because they have tenure. You can't get rid of the teachers because of the unions.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. And the unions, we were in negotiation for a school contract, and I said to them, why do we have teachers coming to school looking like they're going to the beach? And we're making our kids wear uniforms. And they told me, well, we can't touch that because we didn't put anything about school, you know, dress uniform inside a teacher contract. Excuse me? And so we watched this happen. And so when you look at what happened to the district and what's going on and raping of the resources, now you have people that are on the school board who may be well-intended, but they don't have what's necessary to govern.
And a lot of that problem is it's legal.
Yeah.
It's a legal problem,
yeah.
Which is why the charter schools kind of popped up, because the only way you can get rid of the old is just to – go over here where the government has a lot less influence.
The problem is no influence, no oversight, but we allowed someone who was going to be making money on the legislation to write it.
Well, that's part of the problem, Tracy. The problem is that the charter schools had to come in the first place, and that's because the public schools were failing miserably. And it wasn't about money at that time, and it's hardly about money now when the Youngstown City Schools have spent
$22,000 per pupil.
And what are they
spending? $22,000 per pupil.
And what do they spend in the suburbs?
Anywhere about 68 to 17, depending on where you are.
What do you mean, 68 to
17? 6,800 to 17,000,
okay.
Depending on where you are.
Yeah, what I'm saying is it's considerably less. It's at least
$5,000
less per student.
Anywhere from 5 to 7.
And better results.
But let me say this. My problem with school education today, Jeff, you cannot educate a person the same way as you did when you were in school. And we are still trying to educate our students in the same manner on an agricultural calendar in the inner city with air-conditioned buildings, with heated buildings. And we're not putting social services and safety services and necessary services around those school children.
Oh, yeah, that's what the problem is.
And we won't go out and partner with these or agencies on the outside and change the learning environment to where it is a wraparound program for the whole community.
Because they refuse to allow any type of discipline to these school children. And there's no motivating force for them to do anything about because it is.
But that's a cultural thing, isn't it? Because I mean societal thing. Right now, our children are in more control of our houses and our future than we are. Are they not?
Well, of course they are, because the children are our future, quote unquote.
if that's what you say so. But if you don't train up a swimming, but if you don't train up a child in the way that you would have for them to go, he's going to be a wacky kid when he gets done.
Last statement for a second. Watch what I'm saying. I'm saying this. There's no discipline. And when you have discipline, education breaks down unless you have somebody in that room that can by their own personality control those children, because those children know this person just might kill me.
But my question is, Jeff, is there anywhere?
Yes.
Where?
There's some places.
Where?
It's here and there.
But no. My question is, why is discipline different in the suburbs than it is in the inner city?
Because you have family structures in the suburbs, and you don't have them in the inner cities. Because you pile these people up in the inner cities, and now they have more social problems, because that's where all the crime is. That's where the drugs are. Why? Because you have created poverty for a group of people, and you don't care that you created this poverty for them. They can't get out of that poverty, so they're sitting there with you and not listening, doing whatever the heck they want to do.
But isn't that across the board now? Because this is my problem, Jeff, and this is my problem with what happens in the inner city. If you don't put a cap on it, it sneaks to the suburbs and to rural America.
And you're exactly right, and I can tell you that it is leaking out into the suburbs right now.
Sure.
And it is a little bit scary. You know, I watched – this is sort of off topic, but it really isn't, because it goes to the overall view of what's going on in the schools and what's going on in our culture. I was flipping around channel surfing yesterday, and I came across a program called Bong Appetite.
About marijuana?
And this is a celebrity. This is a chef contest.
Yeah.
For these people to develop recipes.
Yeah. For THC.
For
marijuana.
Marijuana.
Absolutely.
And so, how
we
do
promote
you
it.
Promote? You de-promote the values over here that build strong families and strength, while promoting the values over here that do just the opposite. That is going to affect the inner cities more than it's going to affect the suburbs, but it's affecting the suburbs too.
No.
Because these kids are coming out of school not only dumb, they're coming out of school dumb and stoned.
But Mark, now hold on. It's not going to affect the inner city more. Because the inner city, they always use it as the pilot project as it is. And right now, my biggest problem with the legalization of marijuana is they did it on the backs of people of color who have been in a whole generation of African Americans who have been incarcerated for the same thing that we're legalizing right now. And you have to be a multimillionaire to get in the business. So if you think that you're going to go out tomorrow and say, I'm going to become a legal marijuana dealer, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, but the point is,
but hold on, Mark. But alcohol is the same way, because you have to understand, we promote alcohol inside of everything that we do. We promote it as though it is okay for you to do. And then when our kids come home with an alcohol problem, we have a problem.
I agree. I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying, here's something else that's going to make the problem worse.
So why are we sitting on the sidelines saying nothing?
I'm not. I'm here talking about it. But nobody listens.
I'm trying to talk about it, but
Jeff, you've been talking about it for a long time.
Long time.
I remember back when we were on Lake Park Road.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've had this discussion.
And so my question is, why are we sitting? So, but this is not the same question about, this is Gay Pride Month, and we allowed them to turn the White House into a rainbow under President Obama, and we never allowed anything.
President Obama did that of his own accord.
But we don't. But there's no foul. There was no foul. There was no call on him.
Oh my God.
What? There was
a huge outcry.
I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WHKZ AM 1440. We'll see you on the other side of my break.
Oh yeah.
It was a huge outcry.
Yes.
You'll
He didn't give a damn. That's the whole thing.
But he got reelected.
Yeah,
he got reelected.
Not working yet?
No.
The
power went off over the weekend.
Ah.
Downtown.
Reset everything.
Yeah.
I like that camera. They ought to make one for far away. Oh God, I need a beach like that.
I'm back. Thank you. I'm trying to hit my brakes. Thank you. I've got a good-looking man talking in my ear. Don't you guys get jealous here?
All I say is send a dowry check to me. Oh, mailman.
Are we on the air yet? There's going to be a lot of interesting stuff coming down on impeachment. There's going to be a lot of interesting legal arguments coming down on impeachment that I heard over the weekend.
Yeah.
These are...
Hold on. Well, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WHKZ AM 1440. This is we're brought to you by Window World of Youngstown, and you can find your replacement windows and home improvements at 1-800-NEXT-WINDOW. Tell them that Tracy and Friends sent you. Got Jeff Green in studio, got Mark Mangi in studio. I'm here. I'm Tracy Winbush, and I want to ask a question. Mark wants. I know they're itching to get to the impeachment of President Trump. Big deal, and you know. Bring it on, whatever. I mean, you just what it is, what it is. And you got Biden hiding in Ohio. But my question, and I
in Ohio,
Yeah, he came to Ohio.
Where did he go?
I don't know where he was.
He's down in Columbus.
Columbus, or did he come here and go to the restaurant up the street?
No, he's in Columbus. And then my question is, I want to talk about perception of what people think when it comes to China and tariffs. And what's going on with the trade war with President Trump. People are not understanding that you look at business in America as business in China. And business in China and business in America is two different businesses. In China, China controls Chinese businesses. There's nothing in China that Chinese do not control. And we're not talking about Chinese people. We're talking about China.
Include multinationals when they move there.
That's correct. They control everyone, everything. And if you do, and if you look at Kim Jong Un, I think they say that the people that were negotiating with President Trump are MIA. You know, they may be MIA, but you got to understand, China is just like North Korea. When they go MIA, they control businesses. So Yawang Wing, the company that does the phone company that we're looking Huawei. Ha-wah-wah, whatever it's called. That company right there, that company is, you're looking at, well, that's just a phone company just like, you know, like ours. No, it is it is Chinese owned. They use it for spying purposes, and you do not want your foreign people who are not controlled by America to be inside of your communications business inside of America, because you have a hard time with Facebook. Now you let them control your cell phone. God bless America. So I'm getting that off my chest because I heard that over the weekend and I realized it in the back of my mind that Chinese business was not American business, but to the extent that we have a parallel, you cannot compare American business to Chinese business because China controls everything in China. They are communist.
That's why they have complete cities that have been built but nobody lives in.
They own it. They own it. You have
that's
to understand. China, right now, China controls your rare minerals. And that has a lot to do with your medications. You have no idea what's being imported from China, that if we do not get a handle on what China is doing and has been doing and stealing from America, the president is completely right on this.
You know,
and it may hurt really hard, and you might get bit once, but you got to make the hard decision, and the president is making the hard decision on this one, which brings us to impeachment.
You know those same rare minerals. You know where else they are? They're in Afghanistan.
Africa.
Right.
Afghanistan.
Oh, Afghanistan, too.
Yeah,
okay.
They're in the mountains in Afghanistan. And the tariff thing, just because we have Mexico up there on the chart, too. This thing with Mexico, what Trump is doing with the immigrants, that's a different topic. What's interesting is the tariffs, what's happening with the Chinese, the blah, 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 blah. My name is Mark.
I told you.
I can't get it out of my mouth. The multinational companies that are in China are pulling up stakes and moving to Mexico. And now they're having problems because of the tariffs with the immigration.
Right.
But the dynamic, and I was really surprised, I'm thinking the difference that they've done in the tax structure, and they're going to know what the tariffs are going to look like with the Chinese, that they're not going to be able to make them in China and export anymore. They're going to put them in Mexico. And if they put it in Mexico, go back to Mexico, that's good for the United States. Ultimately, that's good for the United States.
Totally agree.
With you know, the North American
trade
agreement.
Right.
And that's good because it'll absorb people from Guatemala and Honduras to go up there and work. Mexicans don't want to leave Mexico. There's Mexicans actually going back to Mexico to live because there's prosperity in Mexico now. And, you know, it's really kind of an interesting dynamic to look at.
But if you look at the influx, because they're using – remember, the war that's going on, or the trade war that's going on between China, America, Mexico, and then they try to throw Canada in every now and then with a couple words. You got to understand what's going on. It is to keep you uninformed of just how fragile our trade agreements have been over the years and how damaging they have been.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
To the American economy. And if we don't make some auto corrections, they were going to take us down a path that would have not been pretty.
Why?
Well, it's about power. It's about control.
And money.
And money.
So you look at Biden, who's running for president, who flew his son over there on Air Force Two, who walked away with $1.5 billion of money from the Chinese government to invest. He never invested a dime in his life and had just been drummed out of the Army for drug abuse.
That's right.
So you want to know why things are the way they are? Look at Biden's bank account.
Yeah, my point is this. The reason why they're doing these agreements and things like that, they draw the United States down. Why are you seeing all of this impeach before the man even took office? Why? Because
he was a hiccup.
He was a fly in the milk. He was whatever it is, the sugar, whatever it is. He stopped the progressives from turning this country into a third world nation.
He was a hiccup. And I'm trying to tell people that he was the hiccup that came through. Because if you look at your boy, Henry Kissinger, he's the common thread.
Absolutely.
Whoa, I never thought of that.
Oh, you have to think about Kissinger.
You got to understand. And remember,
Trump met Kissinger twice.
And Trump is uncontrollable. You mean, he'll listen to you, but he's got his own flight of what he does. So getting him to go out and say, you're not going to do this way because I told you so, may not always be in the purview of Donald Trump.
The Bilderbergers just had their big meeting last week. We're going to see what comes out of that, especially
and it's a very progressive group.
Well, it's not very progressive. It's the progressive group.
And so, and if you look at how the bodies are buried, because President Trump, I was listening this morning, I guess there's a book, and I guess Steve Bannon actually made some comments about President Trump not being the brightest person in the world and being in office. And what we fail to realize is, you're right, President Trump is not the brightest person in the world to be a politician in the White House. What he is a person who cares about America and putting America back on track. And he's doing the best he can with what he's got, because he was a businessman who took off to come back to government to try to fix it, because the people who knew government did what they did to rape the government so the people would not live.
This is true.
Yeah. So it's and it's amazing that if you look back over the last 2.5 years, what he's accomplished in 2.5 years is
phenomenal.
I've never seen it in my life. America changed. Like, I've seen the change the last 2.5 years.
For the positive.
Yeah, for the positive.
Well, actually, it didn't change. It reverted back to what we knew.
True.
The problem that we had is
we know it.
We were better back in the 60s and the 50s, 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
We were better
then.
Right now, what he did was he stopped the trajectory of progressivism in America. And therein lies the problem. They want us to go into this globalized world market.
And that includes Carter, Bush, the Clintons.
Absolutely.
Bush, Obama.
We're not even calling out the people who are called Republicans that are on that list.
Well, we just said the Bush.
That's what I said, the Bush.
See, the Bushes, but see, that's a good name. But there are people that are still in that Senate and in the Congress and that are sitting on the sidelines who are progressives who we don't want to talk about.
Well,
I don't know if they're progressive. They just get their campaign coffers filled by companies that want them to be progressive.
Oh, but you see,
some of them are that way.
But some of them believe
it. Very, very much into
That's
it.
That's correct. And they're trying to go. And they maybe I think Jeff, you were on the United Nations control, American control, progressive.
Oh yeah,
track.
Long time ago. What you mean? I was on it.
You believe that there's two? There's one track going the United Nations, one track going American control.
Listen, there's American progressives. That want America to be the head of one world government, and then there's the left wing progressives that want a one world government someplace else, like the EU does with Brussels right now. That's what people are fighting about overseas. People, if you don't know, that Brussels controls all of the European Union countries, and that's why they're getting out, because they do not want them. Telling them they destroyed London with immigrants.
Let me ask you this.
Destroyed it.
Let me ask you guys this. And I'm shifting a little bit over, but I think I'm shifting on New World Order, because Jeff, you brought it up. Mm-hmm. One World Order, New World Order, progressive movement, where we're headed. And when I look at the feminization of America and the demonization of men, especially white males. And when I look at the Amazon spirit that is overtaking America in this manner, am I off base with this female dominated spirit that I see rising to proportions of where I don't think it should be? Because when you talk about the reason why I ask that is because when you talk about education and nurturing, you know, I just saw who's the black guy who left Kelly Ripa and went over to CBS.
Yeah, the football player.
The football player.
I don't
Michael know. Strahan.
Michael Strahan.
Michael Strahan is a football player. And over the weekend, I watched him jumping up and down and acting really enthusiastic over baby products. They put these two other football players in pink. And I'm watching Gay Pride.
They did what?
They put other football players in pink, and they're baking cookies.
Okay.
And so you got this gladiator man who now we have softened up, and they're finding the more feminine side of life. And as we are seeing the feminization of America, because we're watching more and more people making decisions based on emotion than based on logic. And when I see this happening, when you talk about progressive movement, when you talk about the move to put more women forward, when you talk about – I was in a session on Friday, and they told me that the problems with everything going on with America is the white male.
Well, also, the founding of America was by white males. So, I mean, they have to consider what they're saying. But the thing is there is a war – on white males, and that war is not a real war. That is a fake war to create a type of civil war in America. You're going to have a civil war between all the races, not just black and white. It's going to be Hispanic.
But is it,
it's going to be Chinese. It's going to be everything.
But it's
fighting everybody.
But, they've thrown this gender thing in. And a reason why I'm bringing this up is because the conversation on the Dem side, when you look at what they're promoting, is very, 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 very watery, emotional platform.
Yeah.
I mean, really it is. It's all about war. It's almost like a 70s utopia of flower children on steroids.
That's who's running the party now, is those same people.
Well, and Tracy, in your comments, you made a lot of stereotypical assumptions that aren't particularly true.
Okay.
So,
like, which one?
All right. So you said that they're forcing men to look at their feminine side.
Right.
Okay.
No, not look. Manifest their feminine side.
And that's okay.
For those that will do it.
For those that will do it. You know, I have been, I really have a theory that you know, everybody has a role to play, and women are much better at doing certain things that men are doing. It doesn't bother me.
Right.
What? Because I know what they're capable of, and just like we know what we're capable of, I think and I go to my church right now. We've had this discussion. We have a female head of our church council, a female minister, and a female music director. All three are women. The church has never run better. We have a guy who actually implements what these three decide they're going to do and helps wade through getting things done, because the guy who is like the church administrator guy is very good.
Right.
And
I'm not negating the fact that women. I'm not saying that we're not important. What I'm saying is,
I'm saying
across the board when it comes to leadership. Now, if you look at when you look at raising children, Jeff, you talked about a discipline, a home that is disciplined by a female only. Is not as tight run as a family structured discipline of having both of them
that's
there.
That's a different conversation.
Same.
Because I agree. You have to have a male role model, and all kids are better coming out of a house with a mom and dad.
Okay.
And I'm not going to dispute you with that. But when it comes to some of these other things about men not having, you know, I have a feminine side, and in fact, most of the things I like doing aren't what you would call male. I'm not a big sports guy. I don't like doing the 4RV, you know, and whatnot. I like
music. Sick.
I like art. I like to cook, you know, and my orientation is different.
In most cultures, men do cook.
And that doesn't make me any less a man.
That's correct.
That's not what I'm saying.
I cry at the drop of a hat. I've been crying all weekend because I was two funerals.
But that doesn't make you feminized. What I'm talking about, but are your decisions based on emotional? Are they emotionally driven or are they logically driven?
No, and that's what I'm trying to say. They're not pulling me or anybody like me into being feminine like they would like to. They want everybody to be a wishy-washy, namby-pamby, don't stand up for the truth or stand up for your rights type of individual. Well, they get it with these young kids in school. Okay, they're teaching them
to control them, to judge based on emotion and not based on logic.
But guess what? The millennials ain't having it. They're not having it. They're rejecting it. Now they're not accepting.
Now can I ask this, Jeff?
Yeah.
Now let me ask this. They're not accepting it, but look at who's following AOC. Look at who's following Bernie Sanders. Look at who's following Bougie. I mean, really? Look who's Elizabeth Warren. I mean, look at that slate of 20 people. Look who's following Tim Ryan. Look at who's following these people, and you're going, Really?
Like this, not very many of anybody. And
Middle America, maybe not, but you're still inner city melting pots. You're outside. They're still slamming hard. Your inner city.
You think that? How long is this gonna last?
What
in L.A. and San Francisco? How long is it gonna last? Where you're gonna allow people?
I don't know, Jeff, to sit on
the street and defecate and urinate all over everything in public, and then giving them free needles to shoot up whatever they want to shoot up.
But it's been going on for decades, and acceptable out there.
Not as bad as it's been now. No,
it's not as bad, but it's been going on for years. And are they saying anything?
They're saying it now.
Sooner or later, they got to clean it up.
Let me say it like this. Under a George Bush, even George Bush, this was not happening like this. Okay, you had some issues, but it was not like this. Okay, what you're having right now is put on steroids over the last 10 years of government.
That's correct.
That's what's been going on. That's what the last presidency was about, was to create this thing. Look at what they did with Occupy movement. Destroyed Grant Park in Chicago.
Right.
They destroyed it. And they destroyed the house in that they voted my man out in over the state the next state over.
I've got to take a break. You listen to Tracy and Friends here on WHKZ, AM 1440. When I come back, I got to ask you guys, is Melania Trump the same as Michelle Obama? We'll be right back.
Oh. Don't do it. Two different total individuals.
Come a chameleon. Come and go. It come and go.
Hey, we're on Facebook.
I know.
Hey, I saw it on my
we're on Facebook.
On my notice here.
We're there.
Cujo.
It took me long enough to get there.
I have no food today, Cujo.
I've been running all morning.
All I did was eat this weekend, go to funerals and eat and sleep.
Did you stop and talk?
Dog like the thunderstorm.
Oh, so you said 5633? Thank you.
The dog didn't like the thunderstorm on Friday night.
Oh, I'm sure.
We were up all. I don't think I had an hour's sleep. He was up and down the length of the house for hours. thing.
Okay.
I slept most of the day.
Now I don't know if I told you, since we've been upstairs, the fireworks that were downtown nor the lightning bothered Patches at all.
Wow.
It was like she could not hear it. I don't know if it was because we were higher up or because the building is – they have different windows.
Yeah, maybe a little bit more – we're staying in a hotel, a high-rise.
Right.
Under, you don't want to hear it quite as
right.
much. It's different.
It was really – because we had at least 40 minutes worth of fireworks on Friday or Saturday, and then the thunderstorm that came afterwards.
Maybe they have windows where windows are a little bit more soundproof.
I'm coming back. Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WHKZ AM 1440. Got Jeff and Mark in studio with me. I'm Tracy Winbush, and it's good having you here. I said before I went to break, I was going to ask you, what is the difference between Melania Trump and Michelle Obama?
Light years. That's the difference.
Now, listen. I'm as an African American female, I think Michelle Obama is a nice looking black woman. And I will say now, is when it comes to taste in clothes, I have to say Michelle Obama does not suit my admired taste overall in clothes. Melania Trump, I think that she is a beautiful girl. But I will say this, when it comes to dressing, Melania Trump, she a bad girl. So now my question is, I've seen Michelle Obama as First Lady, and even as former First Lady, on Vogue, on all the front covers of all the magazines across the nation. But when it comes to Melania Trump, it seems as though they tend to not want to even deal with her. But she wears clothes like a hanger. And I'm looking at her with this white hat over in London, and I'm ready to go do the hat trick.
She's gorgeous.
And I'm trying to figure out, why is it that we have ignored Melania, but we have celebrated Michelle? But over the years, had it not been for Michelle, we would have celebrated Melania.
It's not only that they're ignoring her, they're tearing her apart. She got off of the airplane yesterday over in London, and they just ripped her apart.
Why?
Sure did.
They said that she looked like she was wearing a stewardess outfit, and she looked like they basically just it was horrible.
Really? And
yeah.
Wait a minute. They said that was a stewardess outfit?
Yeah, and it wasn't. And it was very nice looking.
Actually, she looked great in it. I love that little blue, that little black blue band, and that little black hat with the.
Yeah. No. This was another thing when she got off of the plane yesterday.
Oh,
this is today. This was last night when they got to London. She got off of the plane and they didn't like what she was wearing and tore it apart. You're not going to hear one word about what she wore today.
Left wing lake loons.
And there was nothing wrong with it.
Always.
She was beautiful.
Listen, I didn't tear Michelle Obama apart, and I didn't agree with anything much that they purported as when Obama was president. I didn't hate her, and then I didn't hate him. This has to be this. They try to shame Trump supporters.
Actually.
By saying, how do you support this? You ought to be ashamed. No, I'm not ashamed. I hired this man to do a job, and guess what? He's doing it. So you can go pound salt, kick rocks, or whatever you want to do.
Hold on, listen. Listen to this. The top that Mrs. Trump has on, I pulled up from yesterday.
Okay.
And it is a Burberry blouse, and they're trying to sell the blouse for $650 in the same ad. I mean, you got to understand, it's a $650 blouse. And I happen to like the blouse.
It was a nice one.
It was a great blouse. It was a great look for her. Everybody couldn't pull that off. She could pull it off.
She
rocks
off
it.
My wife is the same way. She wears clothes like a hanger.
That's correct.
She could pull
they have hanger bodies.
She'd look good.
I can't pull that one off, but it's a bad blouse. So tell me, what is it? Why are they going after the girl like that? She's a bad girl.
They have to do that to get to her husband.
To get to her husband.
Nothing can be right about what Trump does. Everything has to be a negative, and it's a lie. It's a big put together lie, concerted effort lie. And the 10,000 lies he's told, they haven't told anybody 10,000 lies.
Well,
he's been in office. This is ridiculous.
They've got 10,000 scientists that say he has lied.
Yeah.
10,000.
Well,
yeah.
But my question is, the president. You can't cut him a break because they're going to impeach him. And who's the one here that says the president wants to be impeached?
Nancy Pelosi said the president wants to be impeached.
Somebody said that he wanted to be impeached because all that's going to do is
to be impeached, because then he knows if we go down that thing that the public will be,
But they're not going to.
What was I saying?
Let me say this. They keep on talking about this impeachment.
They're giving him crumbs. We're not going to impeach.
Well, now listen here.
Going to impeach.
Okay, if they impeach, they're not going to impeach him in the Senate, are they?
No.
No.
They're not going to remove him from office, right?
No.
And they're not going to be able to do it in the House because Trump's going to go to court the minute they start it. And it's going to be amazing because I looked at the legal arguments over
Thank
this
you.
Weekend. And it's going to be, as a lawyer, it's going to be so much fun to watch.
So the question is, to impeach or not to impeach? It is the big I word and the big question. We'll see you guys on tomorrow. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WHKZ AM 1440. The call number here is 516-595-8258. God bless you. Have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow. To impeach or not to impeach is the question.
But there's another I word with that.
That's the I word. What's that?
To impeach or not to impeach is irrelevant.
It's irrelevant.
It's not going to make any difference.
Thanks a lot. Have a good day.
For us,
because people are going to say they just try to.